The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is. Hi, I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. Actually, my friend and co-producer Jeff Chrysler can't be with us this week, so I'm flying solo. Before I get to the show, I want to say a few words about that sack of troglodyte, far-right, racist, sexist, classist, human sewage, David Koch. And no, it's not about denying climate change or funding ALEC, and therefore by extension state-by-state open carry and voter ID laws that murder children and disenfranchise Americans. No, it's about New York. And in particular, the horrible, anonymous, generically corporate, red-umbrellaed, granite-and-greenery new facade on that citadel of culture, the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art. It was inaugurated last week, and it was totally underwritten by, yes, David Koch. David Koch, the sworn enemy of just about everything the Met stands for, like, say, love of art and artists, as well as of science and scientists, and certainly of all the things that make New York, New York, like diversity and bagels. What is wrong with you, New York? Or rather, you whores of the museum's tone-deaf board, that you have to take the money of this long streak of subversive anti-American filth? New York is packed with people who have bundles of dough. Why do we pick this intellectually and morally bereft hick from the boonies of Kansas to disfigure our Met, our Natural History Museum, our Lincoln Center, with its David H. Koch Theater, formerly the New York State Theater, and the property of the people of New York State? Why? See, Dave at least has this much sense. He wants to live in New York, not in that armpit of the universe, Wichita, where he and his beliefs belong. And he wants to go to dinners and theaters and benefits and be a guy around town and have people make nice to him and not hawk lungers in his face as he deserves, while at the same time funding every troglodyte project in the heartland, busting unions, segregating people of color, silencing women, and depriving the needy of health care. In short, this poor little pornographically rich boy wants to have his Marie Antoinette cake and eat it too. Well, fornicate him. I say run the sack of human sewage out of town. Stone him to death with bagels. String him up from Liberty's torch. And do it soon. Okay, I'm done. Sorry about that. We have a great show for you this week, covering the most important IPO of the week, not Alibaba, Al-Qaeda, and the Nobel Peace Prize Committee demanding Obama's Peace Prize back. Plus a heartwarming plea for understanding from Roger Goodell, and, interestingly, Mrs. Doubtfire's thoughts on Scottish independence. So fasten your seatbelts and sit back for the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Welcome to Deutsche Bank's Investor Conference Call Service. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign. There are 8 people on this call. Please press 1 to join.
Did you hit that course the other day?
All right, everyone, let's begin. Good morning and thank you for joining us on this early investor conference call. I'm Michael Sarafin from Deutsche Bank, and we're very excited for today's brief but important announcement. Joining me is Nasser Abdul Karim al-Wuhashi, Chief Financial Officer of Al-Qaeda. As many of you know, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, pronounced ISIS, has reportedly raised, quote, hundreds of millions of dollars, end quote. So we think there's no better time to announce that our client, Al-Qaeda, is going public and that we'll be running their IPO. Mr. al-Wuhashi?
Yes, thank you. We will deliver our filing to the SEC by early next week and begin trading very soon. Very, very soon.
Our early expectations are for shares to be priced in the $18 to $20 range in order to value the company north of $200 million. Questions?
Michael Davenport of Liberty Capital. This does seem like a smart move. Al-Qaeda still has global reach and unprecedented brand awareness, but it's going to be a disaster unless they show their learning from newer competitors like ISIS.
No. Despite whatever rumors you have heard, Al-Qaeda remains the unrivaled leader in the volatile Islamist terror sector. And we look forward to maintaining and strengthening that position in our new public capacity.
But your company has struggled over the last few years, hasn't it? With what seems to be a void in leadership following the assassination of CEO and founder Osama bin Laden. Bin Laden really gave you guys not just money, but direction and focus.
Look, I really don't agree.
Isn't it like Apple after Steve Jobs died? But if Jobs had been unexpectedly assassinated by an elite team of Navy SEALs in a covert nighttime raid?
Yeah, it's always difficult to deal with sudden change. And the difficulties brought on by his death have paved the way for upstarts like ISIS, which has had some success in large part due to its corporate policy of brutality and horror. I should point out that ISIS is still funded primarily through private donations, kidnappings, and Rupert Murdoch.
Eric Bircher, Barclays Investor Relations. Whatever their source of income, isn't ISIS now on the verge of accomplishing what was once unthinkable? Overtaking Al-Qaeda as the go-to terrorist group?
No. Look, we don't worry about competitors like those infidel-hating infidels. Our decision to go public simply represents the next logical step for our company to solidify our supremacy in the space. Allah Akbar.
The funds they raise will go toward arming jihadis, targeting high-profile international attacks, generally creating a more robust and welcoming organization for their allies and partners.
Hi, Mark Sheldon, Morgan Stanley Vice President of Disaster Opportunities. I think this is actually terrific. I mean, if Al-Qaeda can return to their core competency, attacking American interests abroad, they will separate themselves from localized groups like ISIS. I mean, there has been a real lack of effective foreign soil attacks, this entire decade.
Exactly. Al-Qaeda has the experience to really deliver in a big way. So this is an exciting growth opportunity for savvy money managers. Any American investment will provide an immediate and significant return. This is a market with a lot of pent-up demand. So if you get in, Wall Street can once again be ground zero for profits.
And what about rumors that have Al-Qaeda positioning itself to buy ISIS outright?
No comment.
We are examining all options for growth. Death to America.
That's pretty impressive. I'm swimming.
Okay, well, that's all we have time for now. Thanks for joining us.
Terry.
I'm Bob.
And this is Health Attack, the show where we read the name and description of a disease you've never heard of, then take calls from people who suddenly think they have it.
Our disease today is Japanese encephalitis,
which we chose at random from a rare disease database.
It's a severe inflammation of the brain caused by a virus transmitted by mosquito bites.
And we have a list of symptoms here: high fever, headaches, weakness, nausea, vomiting, paralysis, personality changes, and coma, with possible neurological damage or death.
So if you ever had a headache or your personality changed, give us a call.
And the phones are lighting up. Hello, line one, you're on Health Attack.
Hey, I'm pretty sure I've got Japanese encephalitis, and I think I died from it.
That is so tragic. You sound so young. Thanks for your story. Line two, you're on Health Attack.
Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller. I keep calling my doctor after your show because I've had every one of those diseases, and I noticed he started to get really irritated with me.
So your doctor used to be okay, but now he's getting impatient.
Sounds like a personality change.
My doctor has Japanese encephalitis.
And so do you. Thanks for calling.
Well, the show wouldn't be complete without our anti-vaccination report. This week, we discovered an interesting fact. Smallpox did not exist before they invented a smallpox vaccine.
Wow, is that true?
The important thing isn't whether it's true or not. The important thing is that we said it.
And that's all for us. Come back next week when we manage to convince all our listeners that they have blue diaper syndrome.
The Nobel Peace Prize Committee has twice asked President Obama through diplomatic channels to return his Peace Prize. The first time was after the bombing of Libya. The second, after the assassination of Osama bin Laden. Now, with the president's authorization of airstrikes against ISIS in Syria and Iraq, they're asking one more time, and not diplomatically. Our Stone Peck has the story.
Committee Chairman Thorbjørn Jagland addressed an overflow press conference this morning here in Oslo. And boy, was he steamed.
For some time now, we have realized what a phony baloney Obama is. We call him Obamer, which is why we want our Peace Prize back. And the beautiful box in which it came. Because now he's invaded Iraq, just like that sniveling war criminal Dick Cheney. Our faces are totally covered with egg.
Last year, the Final Edition reported that in the wake of the bombing of Libya, the assassination of Osama bin Laden, Guantanamo remaining open and the reduced drawdown in Afghanistan, the committee had asked the president to consider returning his peace prize. Chairman Youngland.
We asked the president before really nicely. We said, you know, when he had the time, because we know he's a really busy guy, and basically we still really like him. Right, Jagbjorn?
Committee Vice Chairman, Jagbjorn Thorland.
Yeah, we even said he could send it back in a brown paper package by regular mail, so he wouldn't have the red face. But we heard nothing from the White House for months. Then Bjornland here came up with another plan.
Committee Secretary Bjornland Thorjag.
We said, as long as he got his medal back, he could keep the really expensive box. We even offered him a consolation Nobel Peace Prize.
How could anyone turn down that deal?
And now, Mr. Chairman, what will be your strategy?
No more Mr. Nice Guy, with all these poor ISIS being bombed mercilessly. ISIS was the Egyptian goddess of fertility and a motherhood. Put two and two together. The war criminal Obama is bombing motherhood. So we say to the Obamer, give us back our medal. Now, or else.
Or else what, Mr. Chairman?
Or we will completely cut off all our exports of meatballs. Not one Swedish meatball will ever again pass American lips. And we're recalling the Swedish chef.
Now, Mr. Chairman, good luck with that. You Swedes sure know how to play hardball.
Yeah, hard meatball.
With a reaction from Washington, White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
The president's position is this. He doesn't remember winning a Nobel Peace Prize. But if he did, he thinks he might have given it to Hillary.
The Final Edition Radio Hour. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Welcome to another episode of Marcus Welby, MD, Marijuana Doctor.
Nurse, check the glaucoma ward in 5 minutes and get me more rolling papers.
Dr. Welby, this is Timmy. You'd better have a look at him.
Well, hello there, Jimmy. How are you feeling today?
I want to be out playing baseball, Dr. Welby, but I got this pain in my tummy real bad.
Well, let's have a look at your test results.
The news isn't good, Marcus. That tumor is right next to his spine.
The tumor looks like bad news.
Tumors always do.
I concur. I guess there's really only one thing to do.
You mean?
Yes. He'll have to smoke and smoke until the tumor falls out. Timmy, are you ready to get high? Are you ready to get higher than you've ever been?
I guess it's what I gotta do if I want to play baseball again.
That's my brave little stoner. Doctor, bring me 3 grams of sour diesel and a stemless bong.
Yes, Dr. Welby.
Minutes later.
Dr. Welby, that tumor still hasn't dislodged.
How are you doing so far, Timmy?
Is any of this real?
We don't know yet, Timmy. We don't know.
Marcus, look! The tumor, it's mellowing out.
Yes, it looks like the tumor just wants to drop out and do its own thing.
The marijuana is solving the problem.
Just like it solves every medical problem. How are you feeling, Timmy?
I'm stoned. I'm really stoned. Can I smoke this again tomorrow?
No, Timmy. We don't smoke marijuana for fun. Marijuana is an important medical drug, and we use it for healing. only for healing. Come back next week when we hear Marcus Welby, MD marijuana doctor, tell little Timmy. Timmy, you're under arrest for trying to heal yourself. Get on the YouTube for the hip indie show, for the hip indie viewer who gets it. Check out We're Not Racist, We're Being Ironic, the prank talk show that, as the name clearly says, is not racist. This week, our all-white guest panel includes Terry Stevens, who's wearing blackface.
Oh, I'm kidding, of course.
Jonathan Bainbridge, who was beaten up for using the N-word in an ironic, transgressive statement about... What's the statement about, John?
Something about sports, maybe.
When we make fun of black people, we're obviously really making fun of the kind of people who make fun of black people.
But when black people don't get that, aren't they just making it easier to make fun of black people? That's what I'll ask Terry tonight. And of course, that question isn't serious.
And of course, I'll answer like it was.
Purely for humorous effect.
Then we're going to make jokes about watermelon. And we'll explore why black people think jokes about black people are actually about them.
That's this week on We're Not Racist, We're Being Ironic.
Check it out, unless you don't have a sense of humor.
And I think we all know who we're talking about.
Hello, I'm NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. I'm here to shed light on the league's response to the Ray Rice situation, in which the running back was suspended for only 2 games after knocking his wife unconscious, and explain why we sat for months on damning footage of the actual punch. Let me state the NFL's position very clearly. Violence against women is never good. We can all agree on that. But, medically speaking, can anyone really prove that it's bad? There have been no long-term studies done to conclusively demonstrate a link between getting punched in the face and a decline in quality of life. This, according to the NFL psychologists, is why many battered women don't complain at all, or get very quiet and refuse to meet your gaze, or withdraw their testimony in court, because it's not a big deal and everything's fine. And while it's clear that Mr. Rice struck his fiancée, can we say to what degree his punch contributed to her sudden loss of consciousness? NFL doctors stress that many factors can cause instant collapse, such as fatigue, or being unplugged from the matrix, or failing to pass on a video of a dead girl rising from a well within the required 7 days. Furthermore, the tape clearly shows that Mr. Rice adhered to the league-approved guidelines for safe wife punching, designed to minimize the risk of chronic damage. So is anyone truly at fault? There are just too many unanswered questions. Is the footage doctored? Was she the punch's intended target and not, say, a pesky fly on her jaw? And how do we know that the person on the tape is even a woman when it makes no attempt to display its genitals, almost as if it doesn't want us to know? It's like how we haven't made up our mind about global warming yet. It would be unfair to jump to conclusions until all the facts are in. And fairness is a fundamental principle, not only of the NFL, but of this great nation. Now, if you'll excuse me, Oscar Pistorius, Casey Anthony, and I have tickets to a Chris Brown concert. Good night, and God bless the NFL.
This week, Webster is coming out with their new dictionary, and we're excited to welcome senior editor Charles Van Dorn IV to explain some of the changes in the new edition. Charles, welcome.
Yeah.
Charles, are you okay?
Oh, yeah, just the whole week has been... I'm fine.
All right. Well, for a little background, we've been seeing a lot of changes in dictionaries in recent years, haven't we?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, we started adding texting abbreviations like OMG and IMHO, and then we brought in made-up slang terms like bromance and man cave and chillax, and then we changed the definition of the word literally so it means not literally. And after that, I stopped fighting.
So what's going to change in the dictionary this year?
Oh, from now on, every word in the English language is just going to mean whatever you want it to mean.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, usage changes, and that's how language evolves, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just tired of thinking about this.
Do you have any specific examples?
Well, for instance, we're changing the definition of irony. Now it really is rain on your wedding day, a free ride when you've already paid, the good advice you just didn't take, whatever you want.
A song about irony destroyed irony. That actually is ironic.
Nope, that's not what irony means anymore. Whatever the situation you just described, there's no longer a word for that.
So is that the only change?
Oh no, there are hundreds. Espresso is now spelled with an X.
Uh-huh.
The word whom is just gone. It never was. Also, the words less and fewer are interchangeable. You can have less chickens now and fewer water.
And the word it's. When does it have an apostrophe? When it's a contraction of it is, or when it's the possessive?
It has an apostrophe whenever you want it. Just, I don't know, put it at the beginning of the word. Who cares?
Are there any new words going into the dictionary?
Yeah, there's yow, wow, 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 wow.
Wow. What's that mean?
Doesn't mean anything yet, but a guy in southern Wyoming made that noise a couple times, so now it's out there, and we have to account for it.
Sure. One last question. Does black now mean white?
Oh, people haven't gone down that road yet, so for now we're just splitting the difference. Black means gray.
Charles Van Dorn IV, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
23 Skidoo.
Here is a glossary of the Scottish terms used in this sketch. Doty, stupid. Puggled, daft. Bamstick, idiot. Clatty, dirty. Shaky, a down and out. Kinky, smelly. Skelly, cross-eyed. Glaikit, useless. Hing oot, disheveled looking. Numpty, again, idiot.
Hello. I'm Mungo Duff McTavish Clyde. Scotland failed to break off from the Mum Country, thanks to the efforts of such doughty, poggled bamsticks as Bob Geldof and Eddie Izzard. But we're not giving up. What does Scottish independence mean for you? What will change exactly? First, Scotland Yard will become the independent kingdom of Scotland Yard. Scotch tape will become democratically self-determined tape. Scotch on the Rocks will become full and equal member of the UN on the Rocks. On Star Trek, Mr. Scott will remain Mr. Scott, but he won't beam up any Klingon or Vulcan who steps on his own nationalistic interests. Haggis will remain disgusting, and McDonald's will remain inedible. However, Shakespeare's Macbeth will no longer be referred to as the Scottish play, but as the pan-socialist independence play with full decision-making power, ya clatty bampot. And Lady Macbeth's line, out damned spot, will be changed to out damned Brit with your oppressive economic structure, colonialistic energy policy, and jakey ginky bar jaws like Bob Geldof and Eddie Izzard. Scotsman Craig Ferguson will remain host of the Late Late Show until he's replaced by the Brit James Corden, whose country can no longer claim my homeland as one of its vast feudal holdings. So you take the low road, and I'll take the high road. But all roads lead to independence, because UK no longer means under their kilt. So whether you're looking for the new independent Loch Ness Monster, or the even more socialist Edinburgh Festival, we got something for you, ya skelly, glaikit, hing oot noomty.
Paid for by the Bureau to Promote Travel to the New Independent Scotland, ya skelly glaikit hing oot numpty.
New for 2014, the Ford Dodge Heavy 2-ton Hump Truck. Pump the forest. Pump those wildlife. Pump the planet. Juggle that gas. Pump the global warming pussies. Pump that pussy cyclist.
Remember, speed kills.
Guaranteed to enlarge the average penis 4 to 6 inches. So you can pump the whole wide world. Pump those losers. Show your buddies who's boss.
Please drink responsibly. Do not attempt this maneuver.
The Ford Dodge Chevy 1-ton hump truck. You want one. You know you want one.
No human male should be allowed to operate this vehicle.
Call your tri-state Ford Dodge Chevy dealer. Do it now.
Ford Dodge Chevy is not liable for injury or fatality purchasers of this vehicle inflicted on themselves or others. Manufacturer is aware of conclusive research showing cars and trucks to be the single most stupid and lethal form of mass transportation, causing death, acute death, sudden death, slow lingering death, death by water, fire, ice, cliff, tree, and road rage, amputation, brain damage, limb loss, head loss, child loss, organ failure, quadriplegia, obesity, asthma, 48 forms of terminal cancer, acute pedestrian fatality, eco Armageddon, intergalactic greenhouse gas effect, and bourgeois complacency. But manufacturers will have no liability for the effects of operating this vehicle on or off roads, bridges, tunnels, dead ends, beaches, rivers, lakes, outside or inside malls, supermarkets, box stores, hotels, banks, restaurants, churches, temples, casinos, schools, daycare centers, or saloons.
You own a lethal weapon. Now drive a lethal weapon.
Oh my God! Please, slow down! Oh!
Out of my way, pussy!
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. A few days ago, I was rummaging through my archives, and I came across an album which I produced for the National Lampoon many, many years ago, called Lemmings. And Lemmings was actually an off-Broadway show, which was quite a big hit in 1973, which I produced and directed, and cast for their first major roles, really, John Belushi and Chevy Chase and Christopher Guest, amongst other very talented people. And Lemmings was, as I say, it was quite a hit at the time, but it seems to have become well-known in a kind of underground way amongst many, most of whom couldn't possibly have seen it in its off-Broadway run, which was only about 9 months. And I thought it might be interesting to play some of the selections from it here on the Final Edition Radio Hour. Lemmings was intended as a full-scale parody of Woodstock, in which we would parody many of the singers and groups that appeared at Woodstock, like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Joan Baez, Joe Cocker, and quite a few who didn't, like James Taylor, and significantly Bob Dylan, and Mick Jagger, and the Stones. And it had a rather dark joke at its center, which was that instead of 500,000 people coming together in an upstate New York locale to enjoy 3 days of rock, drugs, and mud, there was a gathering called the Woodchuck Festival of Peace, Love, and Death, in which 1 million lemmings, or rock fans, had gathered basically to off themselves. So I thought it might be amusing to hear some of the stage announcements which were done by the MC, the satanic MC of Lemmings, John Belushi, and also some of the songs to see if they hold up. So here are a few of the parodies from Lemmings performed by a cast which included John Belushi, Chevy Chase, Christopher Guest, Alice Playton, Paul Jacobs, Gary Goodrow, and Mary Mitchell.
Woodchuck Festival of Peace, Love, and Death and a free concert! All right, a free concert! This doesn't mean you can do anything you want to do. It means you gotta do what you're told. Okay, now we all know why we came here. A million of us. We came here to off ourselves. We want you people who are into macrobiotics to off yourself over in the South 40 to be used for organic fertilizer. Now, if your buddy's too stoned to off himself, roll him up in a sleeping bag and drag him over to where the tractors can run over. And as you know, there isn't enough food to go around. There just isn't enough food. So remember, the man next to you is your dinner. Okay, I got a couple announcements. Sunflower Polanski, your insulin has been located. I got it right here. Okay, now, the blue belladonna has been tested. And it's real killer stuff, so get into it. But the brown strychnine has been cut with acid. So watch it. If you want to do half, see what happens to the other half, that's up to you. Okay, I want to make this clear right now before we go any further. And he's not here. And he's not coming. So forget it, all right? Just forget it. We're just going to go on now. Okay. Now we have... He's here. It's been confirmed. Bob is here. He's out there somewhere. Bob, you out there? Where are you? I can hear him. Where are you, Bob? There he is over there. Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob, why don't you come on up here and favor us with a tune, Bob? Come on up, Bob. Let's give him some encouragement, huh? Let's get him up here. Come on, Bob. Come on. Come on. He's not coming up. He's not. I'll get him up here. I'll get him up. Hey, Bob. All this bread is yours, man. Come on up. Come on. Get it up.
Say the world's in trouble. Say you don't feel free. You don't know where you're going. Well, brother, don't ask me. Oh, I don't give a darn. No. Out behind the barn. Oh.
Oh, out behind the barn. I'm chewing on a piece of hay. I'm up to my knees in cow shit. I'm shoveling my blues away. Yeah.
You say I was your leader. You say I turned you on. You're starting to suspect now. It was all a con. Oh, I don't give a darn. No. Out behind the barn. No. You say I owe you something. You ask me for my plan. Just who are you expecting? Jesus, Zimmerman. Oh, I don't give a darn.
drowning my blues away.
Down or ruin his so-called groovy vibes, but I had an important message here. I got a weather communique from the Weather Bureau. You know, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. All right. The time has come for all of us to objectively analyze the situation and take the correct remedy. We are all of us, black and white, brothers and sisters, pigs. We owe to the third world to off ourselves. If you are not a black, homosexual, working class woman, you're an oppressor, pig! You deserve to die! Every time you shit or piss, you dump uric acid on Mother Earth, and then you wipe your ass with the corpse of a tree! You're not worthy of the cow that died to make your stinking belt, your running dog jacko! All right! Now, objective analysis should show you that it won't be easy to off yourself, because the bourgeoisie control the ownership of nylon rope and steel razor blades and all the means of self-extermination. The Weather Bureau recommends that you beat yourself to death in a 4-foot-deep hole full of organic compost. Or if you want to do something really meaningful, we got TNT suppositories for everybody. Power to the correct people!
Patience, it sure is nice to be up on a stage singing again. You may remember me, I'm Goldie Oldie, and I'm here with my group, the Oldies. We're going to do a little medley of my hit for you. You ready, boys?
Okay, puss.
Thank you very much. We're going to do our little tune, and it goes exactly like this.
Workers of the world tonight, you have nothing to lose but your chain. You can lose them if you like tonight, but you gotta strive, you gotta strive with all your might and main. The history of our entire society is the history of the struggle with the bourgeoisie. From now on in the South, try resolutely.
You can't put them in a production.
Our
the bourgeoisie is nothing but negativities.
The bourgeoisie is jam sucker.
Our hands can only be attained by the force below the throne, which leads to division. If a ruling class is trembling and a communist revolution, we disdain to conceal our views and our aims. The proletariat has nothing to lose, but it's chains we got.
Group,
Well, this next singer, anyway, this group is very good. They're very good friends of mine, and they have a lot of showmanship.
Waves of my soulful moody mind. Baby, why'd you treat me so unkind? I miss your paisley curtains and your morning buttered toast, but my highway tolls are coming to the coast. Shooting up the highway on the road map of my wrist. Maybe I've just scratched you off my list. Miss your tie-dyed bed sheets and your pretty spimming mouth, but my highway tolls are coming to the sound. Farewell, New York City, with your streets that flash like strobes. Farewell to Carolina, where I left my frontal lobes. Alone but for my agent, a photographer for life, a film crew and another pop star's wife. Can't you hear them? Contracts calling, I'm too sensitive to stay, and my highway tolls are coming me away. Farewell, New York City, with your streets that flash like strobes. Farewell, Carolina, where I left my frontal lobe.
We will return to the Final Edition Radio Hour after this.
Stay tuned for more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Jeff! Jeff! I'm scared! Really scared!
Why, Bruce? What's wrong?
I'm funny, right? Pretty funny?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be funny to be on the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Am I gonna die, Jeff?
Well, I don't see any reason why...
All the funny people are dying! Harold Ramis, Sid Caesar, David Brenner, Steve Rossi...
Steve Rossi?
Alan and Rossi! Legendary! Tracy Morgan...
He's not dead.
He could still die. Then Robin Williams! And I just heard about Joan Rivers!
You just heard?
Jeff, am I going to die?
Did I just hear speak... Of Robin Williams?
Yes! A month and I still can't get over it! I could be next!
That spawn of the devil is deep in hell.
Oh, come on. Robin Williams never did anything to deserve hell.
He was a sodomite.
You mean he was gay?
No, a son of Sodom. He took unto himself women's weeds, and from rubber petting, fashioned himself women's paps. Big ones. Like mine.
They are impressive.
Our minister, Presbyter MacDougall, preaches that he who dresses as a woman and pretends to have big bosoms is the same as laying with a man. It says, "Hey, Mr. Man, I'm really a woman. Here, I'll open my legs and you can do my fundaments."
Why are you talking like the Bible?
Because the Bible says, "He who lays with another man shall be stoned to death." Aye, Robin Williams did that unclean, unholy thing. So now he's in hell.
Robin Williams never harmed anyone in his life, which is more than I can say for hate mongers like you with your angry man in the sky and his stupid hell.
Yeah, have you ever even seen this Robin Williams film your minister hates so much?
I have not, dear.
It's called Mrs. Doubtfire.
Is it now?
You seem surprised.
I am a little. You see, my name is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Wow, that's an amazing coincidence.
Indeed. Considering I'm the only Mrs. Doubtfire in all of Scotland.
You must feel pretty silly now for putting down Robin Williams' masterpiece.
I never feel silly, dear, unless I've had a wee dram. Was Mrs. Doubtfire a successful film?
Yeah, it made almost $500 million worldwide.
Did it now? That's a nice chunk of change.
Mrs. Doubtfire, from here on, do you see the sketch going anywhere?
I suppose we could segue into Scottish independence.
John Oliver's pretty much rocked that one already.
Then I don't know, dear. Unless you'd like to see my gargantuan breasts.
Whoa, hello.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm up for that.
It is radio.
There we go, my little ones.
Whoa, hello.
Those are big ones.
You got a balcony you can do Shakespeare off of.
Are you related to Shrek?
Huge they may be, but still quite pert.
Yes, indeed. Pert is a good word.
I think they're smiling at me.
Did they spell Mrs. Doubtfire with two D's or three?
Did you have boob surgery, Mrs. Doubtfire?
No, dear. I must coordinate me.
You did a pretty good job.
For the final edition radio hour, Will Durst here to say it's time to put on your shoes, shake off the blues, and tell Grandma the news. The next generation iPhones are here. Woohoo! And they're huge! Or not. You get to choose. The iPhone 6 Plus looks like they shrunk the mini pad, or tiny iPad, or whatever they call it. Is that an iPhone 6 Plus in your pocket, or are you just really, really happy to see me? Old folks are raising their prune juice and toast. They can finally see the buttons. On the small side, the iWatch is not the iWatch, it's the Apple Watch, even though the company filed for trademark protection in about 100 markets for the right to call it the iWatch. Of course, the wrist-wearing computer won't become iAvailable until 2015, or when the iSwatch freezes over, whichever comes first. The Android Galaxy Samsung contingent continues to flame away about how Apple has merely caught up to their smartphones, but methinks they doth protest too much. It's like Lexus owners bashing Acura drivers for finally getting contrasting leather stitching on their seats. Dude, they're different. Settle down. Who cares? Anyone who depends that much on a phone for their identity doesn't need a new phone. They need a life. Besides, the antipathy flows pretty much one way. Apple heads couldn't care less about the Androidites, which probably just heightens their frustration. Of course, the Apple community is so blindly loyal, they'd line up to buy the next iteration, even if the only new feature were a rotary dial. Used to be the hip phones would get smaller and smaller, but now we're headed towards a 19-inch model that comes with eye saddlebags on an eye pony to carry it around. Optional, of course. Then again, some of us will never be satisfied until we find the phone that will dry the dishes and do the laundry. Siri, are you down there? Don't forget to separate the colors. I swear, that girl would lose her head if it weren't pre-installed. For the final edition radio hour, I'm Will Durst.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Ann Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The Final Edition Radio Hour is written, at one time or another, by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hindra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast producer Barry Lank. The Final Edition Radio Hour is edited and audio produced by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. This episode's audio engineer was Eric West. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014.